This week, the Smithsonian Institution honored the art of American talk at their annual Folklife Festival.
Whoa, Wall Street crash! Whoa, many probes! Stock market crash there!
Oh, MacDonald,
read all about
it! The balloons to decorate, make their pretty little ones happy. They make the lovely ladies happy, make the children happy.
On the grounds near the Washington Monument, street criers row, striped tents, at least a dozen people hawking their wares. Perhaps the most familiar, a tobacco auctioneer, like Buford Evans.
The starter says 135. The auctioneer then, 135 and a second dollar, American. 140 and $1, $2, And I've been teaching for 28 years. I founded the Nashville Auction School. The auctioneer must learn to sell something as simple as a pencil or an ashtray. Once he masters the chant, gets the number brackets, the filler words in his mind, into his subconscious mind, strong enough, he can sell the Empire State Building.
And you said get the filler words.
Filler words. That is a filler word is a tool of the trade that an auctioneer has to work with until he can get a bid. He doesn't want to stand there and say, I'm bid dollar, will you give me $2? $2? Somebody give me two. He puts filler words in there, like, I'm bid a dollar, will you give me $2? $2 to bomb, $2 to bomb, $2 to bomb, $2 to bomb, $2 to give two, $4 to bomb, $2, $2 to bomb, $2 to bomb. And the worst thing that a student auctioneer, one that's trying to learn the profession, could do is try to imitate another auctioneer. So when we, in the school, when we're teaching, we give them dozens of filler words that can be used now, go, add, a bid, a say, you know. Then they pick out words that is comfortable for them to use, and then they start mastering their own chant. It's just a flip of the tongue and chopping the words. This quarter of a dollar, instead of saying quarter of a dollar, it's quarter of a dollar. Instead of saying half a dollar, it's half a dollar, quarter of a dollar, half a dollar, $7, $5 bill. It's chopping the words with speed and rhythm and volume. 40 to moment of order, 40 to moment of order, now divide of order, 5 and the bottom of order, 5 to 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 the
bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the bottom of order, 5 to the This medicine that I have here is it is a system tonic and bodybuilder. Now, if you have got good, rich red blood, good healthy bowels, bowel recollection, 35 seconds. Tell your friend about it. I'm going to thank you for looking now, and I'm going to thank you for listening.
Can I ask you a question? Alton Machen?
Machen.
How long have you been a snake oil salesman?
Well, I've been in the snake oil business ever since 1928.
What does it take to be a good, good snake oil salesman? I mean, you're the only one that's lasted.
Yes. Well, now what it takes to do anything that you are concerned about and making a living, you first of all is number one, being honest, true, and never price something, sell something if you don't know the background, don't know the history. I have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that use this product and they are satisfied. No complaint. So it evidently must meet the specification qualification.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, ma'am.
How old are you?
I was born December 7, 1910. And I'm happy to say, out of all of these years, I have nothing that's never caused me for long way. Such as sickness, death, I haven't had it. The Lord's been good to me because I have been some good service to mankind. And it's paid off in silver and gold.
You also use your own medicine, keeps you healthy.
I use my medicine, yes, indeed I do. I don't do like a lot of people, wait till I'm going into a coma and start taking medicine. I take medicine to stay on my feet so I can wake with my hand, let the sweat fall from my forehead to make a good, honest living to keep the wolf off my door. stock up before closing time.
Okay.
Hot dogs! Some folks don't never buy hot dogs, but they don't know what they're missing. We got the best hot dogs in the world. We got hot dogs, your dogs, my dogs, your barking dogs, okay, bow wow dogs, and everything. Dogs, and dogs, hot dogs, y'all.
Mr. Walton, does that work?
Sometimes it do. We get a kick out of doing it, and people like to hear it, too.
Now, what kind of special talent do you need except for a slippery tongue?
I don't know. You got to know how to get up early in the morning and drink a lot of moonshine at night to get this thing over. From way down south, y'all, in Florida. No, I'm affiliated with Al Langsfield. I work with the Mets and the Cardinals. I'm their man, little mascot. Sometimes they get me down like a little dog. But I'm still going to holler, hot dogs, y'all! Hot dogs. 7 years I've been doing hot dogs, you know. I've been down with the Connies and different things all around, and hot dogs are my specialty now.
You just fell into it.
I fell in love with it. And I sell more hot dogs than anybody in the whole round U.S. of A.
When you went down to St. Petersburg and now you're selling them at the stadium down there, did you have to audition for this job?
No, you just have to be good. If you go in there and can't sell about 200 hot dogs a day, they don't want you. Oh, you can't just go dragging through the stadium and saying, hot dogs, hot dogs. You know, people can't hear you. The ball game is gone, everybody rooting for their team, so you gotta get out there and say, hot dogs! That's all to it. Now, can I sell some hot dogs? Okay, how about hot dogs? Hot dogs? Hot dogs.
I don't know, Steve. Tom Walton convinced me to get a hot dog. Did you get one?
No, Leanne, while you were with those talkers, I was following my nose to just about the busiest place at this festival, Scott's Barbecue Pit. Folks are lined up 50 deep to get some of Scott's famous barbecued ribs, a true artifact of American folklife. Did they taste good? So, you know, sometimes I try to cook ribs in my backyard, but they sure don't taste like those here at the Folklife Festival. So as they sizzled on the grill, I tried to find out just how you do make them right from Scott's chief cook for the festival, Clifford White of Mount Bayou, Mississippi.
Smoke is pretty rough.
Yeah, smoke, but it's hickory smoke, right?
Oh, yes, hickory.
Now tell me, how do you set out to cook these ribs? What's the first thing you need?
Well, the first thing you do, you have to kind of go along with me a little bit because I got to kind of keep the meat turning. You trim the ribs up and then you take and season them, you know, with our special seasoning.
Can you tell us what do you have in that special seasoning?
No, I can't tell you that. And then just put them on the pit and the main thing is, you know, keep them turning, you know, so you can get a good brown look on them. You know, in 20 years of experience, you know, it's not too hard to, you know when they're cooked and when they're done. And once they're cooked, then we take them inside and the fellas put the sauce on them. You know, and we got a special sauce, too, that we put on them.
So you cook and smoke them over the hickory, but no sauce on them first, and then
right.
You put the sauce on.
Right, that's true.
Now tell me more about this wood for the fire. What should you have to do ribs right?
Well, you can use red oak or hickory. You know, those are your two best woods. And from that, you know, it's up to the individual. The red oak and the hickory, and it's good to use a mix, red oak and hickory. That way you get a very good flavor in your meat.
John Sanders owns Scott's Barbecue, and while he was standing near the Caribbean American Folklife tent, I asked him the secret of making good barbecue spare ribs.
Well, the big secret is in the quality of the meat you buy, not the sauces and not anything else you can do. It's really the meat. If you buy a high quality of meat, then, you know, and you use a normal process of barbecuing, then you're going to have an excellent barbecue. And everyone gets wrapped up in this whole myth about the sauce. But if you buy fatty, poor quality, and cheap ribs, that's exactly what you're going to get at the end of the process. It doesn't matter. So the secret is, and you can put all the sauces, the ones that the mama used to make and everybody else makes on them, and it's not going to make any difference.
Will you tell us your sauce recipe?
Nope. No.
Well, wait a second. You said the meat quality is the secret.
No. I said the quality of the meat is number one. I mean, in priorities. And then secondly, you would consider the sauce.
John Saunders of Scott's Barbecue Pit. From right here in Washington, a part of the Smithsonian Festival of American Folklife.